So if we could turn to Matthew 6, I'm going to read verses 5 through 9.5. We're going to do 3.5 verses today. And it says, "And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then like this, Our Father in heaven." And I'm going to stop right there. We're going to spend the next few weeks unpacking the Lord's Prayer and really learning what it means to pray like Jesus taught us to pray. We're going to take our time on each petition, each part, and we're going to learn from Jesus. So I want our prayer lives to be rewarding, because sometimes we don't look at prayer as a rewarding thing, when it's really one of the most rewarding things, because we get to communicate with God as our Father. Think about that privilege. It was not always the case that man could approach God as his Father in the secret place, and that God actually hears your words, God actually listens, and that God actually answers prayers. That's a revolutionary thing. And it's something that sometimes we run away from instead of run towards. And I think a lot of that has to do is we don't understand God as Father. We understand God as maybe distant and holy and transcendent and powerful. We understand all those things. But when I understand him as our Father in an intimate way is crucial to the vitality of your prayer life. So I want to really learn and stay on that point today as we learn who we're praying to. We'll learn how to pray, we'll learn who, we'll learn when, and we'll learn where. But this today is really, it's a little bit of how, but it's really who are we praying to. One of my greatest goals in life is to be a good dad. That's one of my biggest aims. I want to be a father that my kids can come to, they can talk to, I can teach them, they can ask me for things, I can give it to them, I can provide for them. Those are very important things to me. It's one of my main objectives in life is to be a good dad. So for years now, my kids have been asking me, and I've shared this a little bit with you, to go to Disney World. We didn't have the cash flow to go to Disney World. And plus, we wanted to wait to that right age. You know that right age when you want to make sure they're enjoying it if you're spending your money, right? I ain't bringing a 2-year-old if they can't remember it. I'm just saying. So now they're 10 and they're 5. And finally, I can answer their request to bring them to Disney World after many years. Now, when they came and asked me to go to Disney World, they didn't say, "Mr. Thompson, we have a petition for you." Right? They said, "Dad." They didn't write like many words in a poem and try to grow big Greek words in there, right? They didn't say, "Will you take us up to Disney World for us to depart?" They said, "Dad, we want to go to Disney World. Can we go?" Because there was a relationship there, and because they knew who they were asking. They knew they were asking their Father who loved them, who cared for them, who provided them, who wanted to give them good things. It changed the whole way they communicated with me as their dad. In the same way, Jesus is saying, go to your heavenly Father, knowing he loves you, he cares for you, he wants to give you good things. And it starts with knowing that and going in the secret place in prayer, because that changes the whole game of how you pray when you understand who you're praying to. Amen? That's a big thing to know that God loves you and that God cares for you. So we're going to start here because Jesus, once again, his rhythm is, this is how you don't do it. So we have to address how you don't pray, because some of us in our lives have been taught how to pray in some very unhealthy ways. In my church environment growing up, it was unhealthy. It was showtime in the house when someone prayed. It was like he's a powerful prayer. He's breaking it down. Did you hear that word? Did you see that move? I've been dancing a lot lately at the pulpit. I'm sorry. I don't know what's going on, but I've been busting some moves lately. But it became showtime when it was prayer time. And what Jesus is saying is don't be like two groups of people. He first says don't be like the hypocrites, the religious leaders, the Pharisees and scribes. Then he says don't be like the Gentiles, those who are outside the covenant people of God and don't worship the one true only God. So let's start with the Gentiles, with the covenant people of God. The religious leaders had developed a pattern and were teaching the people that you prayed in the most public place possible. Why they said street corners is because people would intersect there, like crowds of people, and that's where they could sound their trumpet, that's where they could let everyone know that they were praying. And when they prayed long, and they used a lot of words that people couldn't understand. Because their goal was to be praised by man as someone who prayed good. Jesus says, do not pray like them if your intention is to look like you're a good prayer in front of people. Man, that dude can pray. That should never be something that we are aspiring to, is to be said of that we're great at prayer because our words sound right, because it's long, because it's loud enough, because we know when to be dynamic. Those aren't things that we're going for in our prayer life. When I was younger, so I came out of a church that had a lot of things right. They loved Jesus, they cared for people, but there was a lot of unhealthy structures and a lot of unhealthy doctrine taught. So what happened was that I went with this group. It had been years. I was probably in my mid-20s now, and I hadn't been around them for a while, and they said, we're going down to this Boston. It was this big event in the middle of Boston, a bunch of people, and there were prayer rooms. And they were convinced that they were the top prayers in town and that no one else knew how to pray. They were going to revolutionize prayer. They said, Joey, come with us. And I'm thinking, oh, man, I knew I shouldn't have came here. I'm just not comfortable with anything that's going on right now. Bring me home. I'm a homebody. Why do I leave my house? So they bring me this prayer room, and they said, we're gonna put this place on fire. I said, here we go. They opened the door. There's about 6 to 8 people in there. The poor things were praying in quiet, kind of sitting there, some kneeling, some sitting, just praying. They went in there. They're calling down fire from heaven. They're shaking the atmosphere. Things are falling down. Things are moving. It's the year of the harvest every single year. And I'm like, here we go. Poor people in there were scared like you had a horror movie on. They're like, what do we do? They shocked them. Everyone was shocked in the room. They left the room, shut it, and said, that's how you do it. That is not how you do it. There is nothing in there from this teaching of Jesus how to pray that's how you do it. He doesn't say if you're louder, you're a better prayer. He doesn't seem inconsiderate to the man who's praying next to you. It is not a contest of who can pray the best. We don't do this for people to be praised by them. If we're interceding for them, we pray for them. Not to be praised. Not to be seen. Not to blow a trumpet. Not we just showed them how to pray. What is loving about that when you do that to somebody? Nothing. And Jesus didn't teach that. But some of us are teaching that in a healthy way, and some of us are intimidated to pray in public because we're like, we don't pray like those people. Good! Good! Because Jesus didn't teach us to pray like that. And we'll get into the nitty-gritty of that. So first of all, he says, don't pray like that. Don't be blowing trumpets. Don't be wanting to seen by man. You never go to a prayer room or prayer event to prove that you're the best prayer or teach people how to pray. You go with a humble and contrite heart before God, wanting to see lives changed. Right? Secondly, he says, don't pray like the Gentiles because they think they'll be heard for their many words. So the Gentiles just simply are people who are not part of the covenant people of God. Do you know a lot of people pray who aren't Christians? Do you know a lot of people have ceremonies who aren't Christians? Do you know a lot of people worship different gods, so they're not monotheists. We believe in one God and his son's Jesus. Some people believe in many gods, and they have ceremonies, and they have their own prayers, and they have their own sacrifices, even back in those days. What they would do, so let's just talk about the Roman, the pagan practices of the Roman Empire they were in. The Roman Empire, they were so focused on you had to get the prayers exactly right and said perfect, that if you messed up one word, like if you were going, everyone was repeating, everyone was silent, you'd have to start the whole ceremony back over. And they thought that if they said it enough, if they repeated it enough, if they executed it perfectly, that their gods would hear them. And if they didn't do it perfectly, then their prayers weren't effective. That's what the Gentiles did. Now, what's wrong with that approach? You put the power in the person praying and the words they speak instead of the God you're praying to. Do you guys hear what I'm saying? Prayer has nothing to do with you perfectly executing the exact right words. Prayer has nothing to do with you being perfect. It has everything to do with the power and the holiness and the grace of the God you're praying to. You think my daughter come to me and she says, I want this daughter. I say it the right way to me. Your verb usage was incorrect. It shall not be answered. Move along. What kind of father does that to the kids? We never look at our kids exactly saying the right word or the right way or say, start over and maybe I'll answer your prayer. Start over, maybe I'll answer your request. We say, I see your heart. I see your motive. I see you're obedient. I see you see who I am and that I can give that to you because I love you. You see what's going on with prayer? You see the difference between pagan prayer and the way Jesus taught us to pray. They're two major differences. So Jesus teaches us something amazing because he looks, God hears the heart. He does not hear the performance. Hear that in your prayer life. God hears your heart. He does not hear your performance. And he goes on to say, when you pray to God, he said, be like this. Do it like this. He says, pray to your Father, our Father. This is revolutionary and would have caught people totally off guard. Because the people of God were comfortable saying, they would come to their prayer life and say, all-powerful God, sustainer all thing, sovereign king of creation. Like they were comfortable with these transcendent terms. And there's nothing wrong with saying that once in a while in your prayer life. But they were comfortable with that because they were part of the people of God. They knew their ancestors were descendants of Moses, where they saw God do mighty signs and wonders. They saw him part the Red Sea. They saw him send plagues so they'd be liberated. They saw King David conquer cities under the banner of God and establish the city of God. They saw prophets speak the word of God, and they come back and build the temple to God. Like, they had no problem with God's power. They had no problem with his omnipotence, his omniscience, with his transcendence. They had no problem with that stuff. But when Jesus said, refer to God now as Father, that would have caught them off guard. You want us to call that God who split the seas, you want us to call him Father? That's what Jesus is teaching. It would have caught them off guard. This word Father means Abba, which is somewhere between father and daddy. It's not as official as father, but it's not as casual as daddy. It's like dad or papa. It's like in the middle there, you know? So it's showing the respect, but it's not being so casual that there's no reverence there. It's an intimacy with reverence. Do you guys hear me? That's how he's saying to refer to God. Refers to him as your dad who cares for you, who loves you, who is for you. Now, this affects your prayer life in a few different ways right away. First of all, I'm confronted with the reality when I pray now that God is for me. Now, I want us to hear this in a broken world because some of us have bad images of our fathers. So we don't want to spend time with our father. We don't want to ask our father for things because he's never come through. And so what we do is we project the way our father is on a perfect and holy father, and that is wrong. We need to show grace to our fathers and forgive our fathers for where they lack, but we need to understand that our heavenly father is nothing like our broken earthly fathers. So we need to come to that place, not afraid that we will get treated as our earthly fathers treated us, maybe in wrong ways, but going there knowing that our Heavenly Father is fully loving and caring and wanting us there. Does that make sense? Because sometimes I'm afraid to pray. I'm afraid to pray. Does anyone run into that? Because I feel like I haven't been good enough. I feel like I'm going to feel horrible. I'm just going to walk in there and God's going to yell at me. You know, like, I feel all the weight of, sometimes we won't want to go to prayer because we're afraid that we might come undone in areas. We might all of a sudden feel vulnerable. We might have to confront things. But what I want you to hear in prayer, that you need to run to your prayer closet instead of run away, because God is your Father and He loves you and He cares for you more than you can imagine. Right away, He's our Father. Now we want to pray. That changes the game. Secondly, that means that we're His child and we get all the benefits. We're confronted with the fact that now we are adopted as a child of God. That changes the game. When you have a perfect Heavenly Father, you get all the benefits of being a child of that Father. I was watching something on TV where this man, he was a cop, and what he did on the side was at night he'd go to the boxing gym and help a lot of orphan kids or kids that didn't have parents or had broken homes. He'd go there and he'd spend time with them. And what happened was this one, these two boys, they really had some of the worst conditions he's ever seen. The house was unbelievably dirty. Many times they were malnourished and they weren't fed. And that really affected him. Basically, his parents didn't care for the parents didn't care for these two children. What he did was saying, I'm going to adopt these two kids. And he adopted these two kids and it changed their life so drastically. Like, he was there doing homework with them. He was spending time with them. He was giving them food when they needed it. And he loved them. You could see that they all enjoyed each other's company. It is the same with God. He adopts us in our family and he enjoys your company when you go into your prayer closet. And thirdly, a good dad knows what his kids need even before they know they need it. A good dad is looking out and say, they're going to need this. I know they need it, and I'm going to provide that for them. One of the best examples I've seen of that is Cliffy, you made the message. Cliffy, before he had Trevor, he was so excited about Trevor coming that he'd be in the kitchen, and he was already collecting basketball cards, because every kid needs basketball cards. I'm preaching truth right here. And he was preparing for his son. Before he even got there, he had a full basketball card set, among other things. But good dads look out for their kids. They know they need, they know what's going to make them happy, and they're already ready for those things before the children even ask for them. You know, I'm already preparing for Talia and Kara's future in so many ways, me and Natalie, because we love them. Good dads, good fathers, prepare for their kids' needs and know what they need even before they ask for it. And that's what Jesus is saying. Jesus is saying, even before you go in that prayer closet, sometimes we think we're starting the conversation, don't we? Like God just sitting around like, you ain't starting the conversation. God has loved you. He has died for you. He has initiated. You're responding to His love and what He's already poured out for you in the conversation. See, prayer is not an initiating language. It's a responsive language for how Jesus already loved and cared for you. So you go into that prayer closet. God already knows what you need before you ask Him. You think you're going to surprise God in your prayer closet? God, did you know I need this? Oh my goodness, I didn't realize that. God knows you inside and out. He knows your needs, your wants, your mistakes, your strengths, your failures, places where you thrive. That's the kind of Father you are approaching. And where do we see this the most? What do we need more than anything that our Heavenly Father provided? Jesus. You know, Jesus died even before we were born, even before you committed your first sin. Even He died for your last sin, even before you committed it. God saw that there was no way for us to be reconciled and loved and cared for and be forgiven of our sins if we didn't have this perfect gift of Jesus, because a good dad does that. And even before we were born, He sent His Son to die for what we need the most, and that's a sacrifice of God the Son on our behalf. That's what a good father does. And what Jesus does is amazing. Jesus is like that kid in town who has the best dad in town. He's the most privileged guy, is provided for, dad cares for him, loves him, teaches for him, counsels him. He goes to all the kids in town that might not have a good dad that cares for them and loves them. And he says, you know what? I'm going to spend all my inheritance so you can have my father. So we can become our father. You guys hear me? Because it's not, it doesn't say my father who art in heaven. It says our father who is in heaven. All of a sudden, we're invited into this beautiful relationship with God the Son. Jesus invites us to be in a relationship with his Holy Father through his death and resurrection. Is that unbelievably powerful? That now the God of the universe, our Father, cares for us so much and calls us to pray to him because he loves us. Doesn't prayer sound so much better that way than something that is, oh my goodness, I got to pray again? Oh my goodness, I have a Heavenly Father who loves me, cares for me, gave me the greatest gift so I could communicate with him. So let's talk about some application here. Jesus says, find a secret place. He says, shut the door. So I want to encourage you, what is your secret place? Where do you pray? Where do you go? Shut the door so people can see that you pray to your Heavenly Father. Now Jesus has one great request, but I really want you guys to think about that. He says, go to your room. What's great about a room? It's got a door, right? You shut that door. No one can see you. You can be intimate with God and pray to God and be rewarded by God. So many of us, our rooms are our secret place. So we can go there to pray. Some of us got kids banging on the door when we go to our room. You know, it's kicking stuff. What are you doing in there? So maybe your secret place is the car after you drop them off it. Somewhere. Many, I know my wife loves, someone's banging the pipes back there. My wife loves praying in the car because she has this time on Monday, Fridays when she goes to work and it's just a good time for her to pray. No one can see it. No one's praising her. No one's asking her to sign Bibles. That could happen. I don't know. I've seen it. That's her time for secret place. Some of us, it might be like what Jesus did. He went to a place outside that was like secluded. You know, he'd go out early in the morning. There's great places down by the lake where no one can see you. There's great places where you can go and find a secret place to pray. Now, we don't want to be legalistic with it. Those are just prescriptions. You know, it doesn't mean that's what you have to do. That's just descriptive, I mean, of what you can do. You can go to your room, you can pray in your car, you can pray outside. But find a place where it's just you, where you're not going to be interrupted, where no one's going to praise you for praying, and pray. You know, because the problem really in this church, once again, is not that we love praying in public places, it's that we hate praying in public places. Have you been to one of our house church meetings when everyone has to pray? And we sit there for 3.5 minutes and everyone's like, you got 3 people. I'm going to pray. I'm going to do it right now. If it don't, 10 seconds. In 10 seconds, I'm going to pray. Like, people are just afraid to pray publicly. There's nothing wrong with praying publicly if your motive is to glorify God, if your motive is to have your prayer answered. Because that's important, because sometimes Jesus calls us together to pray. And so we as a church, what we need to, that's the other end. We might be worried that we don't know how to pray and people might think that we're horrible prayers. Do you guys hear what I'm praying? Does that intimidate you sometimes? Pray. I don't know how to pray. Because you're thinking you've got to perform. This ain't a performance. Just pray from your heart and ask your Father with a group what we need. We need grace. We need people to find Jesus. You know, like, those are things we can pray. I want to release everyone here from thinking that you've got to be an unbelievable prayer when we pray publicly. Pray from your heart, because that's what matters to God. And what we're really concerned about, answered prayers, not people going on Restoration Road like, man, they pray in there. That means nothing to God. He's looking at our heart and our intention and our motive. So I encourage you that when we do have public prayer, like when we're just at house church or something like that, feel free to pray, but don't feel like you have to. You're released of that performance aspect of praying in public because God's not looking at your performance. He's looking at your heart. Learn to enjoy times of prayer. This is a crucial thing for your prayer life. Learn to enjoy it. Learn to be alone and pray to God and allow yourself to be still before God. Learn to be still. Sometimes we have trouble with that, don't we? Now, that doesn't, I don't want to be legalistic once again. It don't mean if you can't move in your room. Pastor said, be still, man. No, I'm a pacer. Sometimes I'm praying. I'm just like, and I'm not going to get legalistic with it because I'm looking at my heart. But learn to get alone and pray to God and spend time with your Heavenly Father and enjoy it. Enjoy the fact that God is hearing your prayer, that He's attentive, Father. He's not a dad you're trying to talk to, and you're like, this dude hasn't paid attention to me for 20 minutes, right? He's listening to every word and to your heart, and He'll answer our prayers. And this is the final thing I want you to look at. When you cultivate a healthy prayer life, keep your eyes open for answered prayer, because it happens. God answers our prayers. When we speak from a heart to a Father, when it's genuine, when it's secret, when we're not looking for praise, you will be blown away at the answered prayer. Sometimes you forget because we want it tomorrow, right? Prayed, man, nothing happened. I prayed at 2, it's 3 o'clock. All of a sudden, 6 weeks go by and you say, what just happened? God just answered my prayer. God just changed my life. My Heavenly Father just provided. Restoration Road, let's be those kind of people who realize that God is our Father, who we're praying to. And let's see lives change, our lives change, and prayers answered. Amen.